Community Conversations with Community Centres SA. Here's Kerry Ackermans.
In today's episode, we'll be speaking to John Peacock, CEO and founder of Associations Forum. You may be thinking, what do associations have to do with community centres? Well, quite a lot, really. They're very similar in how they're made up. They're a not-for-profit, and there's a lot of learnings that you'll hear from John for having an organisation that's assisted not-for-profits for well over 20 years. Welcome, John, to our Community Conversations podcast. I was really excited to talk to you today because you've built an international organisation. Tell us what led you to start Associations Forum.
Kerry, it's nice to be with you today. Thanks for the welcome. I started Associations Forum 21 years ago because I had a background working for associations, and I've also been a volunteer for many years as well. And there weren't many opportunities for associations to learn from each other. So we started a little enterprise, and we're based in Sydney, and we operate around Australia. And it's grown to be a staff of about over 20 people here around the nation. And we've also been bold enough to do a little bit of work overseas. So all to do with the fact that I've got a great passion for associations, and I thought there weren't enough opportunities for everyone to get together and chat and learn.
And John, of course, community centres are not dissimilar to an association. Whilst we are, as the peak body, they're members of ours, a lot of people would consider themselves to be very tied and loyal to community centre as their community. And it's a group of people, collective, coming together for greater good.
There are very much parallels. And I should mention that although most of my work is with medium-sized associations, we cater for all organisations, and personally I have been involved in the New South Wales community groups here, Progress Associations they're actually called, in a suburb of Sydney. But the concept is very much the same. They're not commercial, they are there for the interest, and you have depends on how what the cause is. Some causes are learning to play chess, and some causes are to become a medical practitioner, or in your case with community centres across South Australia, they're to help the community in whatever way they need to. They are going to be mainly not-for-profit. Obviously, some of them may be connected to councils as well, but there's certainly many parallels, I would say, between community centres and the type of organisations we work with.
Yes, and one of those in particular, of course, is governance, John, which you touched on, because you've gone on to start up Governology, which assists organisations with their constitution. But governance can often be a struggle for any organisation, let alone a small not-for-profit struggling with volunteer board members.
Agreed. The principles of governance, it's not inherent that people understand the principles of governance. And we do a lot of governance training, and it's been very well received, and we keep it simple and straightforward and brief. And I guess I would share some of the principles of governance is the directions of the association, where you're going, and your accountability to perhaps the members, if there are members, or the community in some way. It gets a bit harder when you're tiny and you have to be the governance board and you're also the operations board, because it's the ideal situation is to have a board of governance who gives strategic directions, and then they entrust that to staff or to another committee. But governance is tremendously important, and I think that governance often comes back down to the simple principle of being honest and doing the right thing for the greater cause. So I think that is a fairly inherent understanding of governance.
Of course, and one of the difficulties is that these are volunteers and many of them aren't skilled. They sit on the board because they have that passion rather than the knowledge.
Yes, passion is great, and we greatly believe in it. In fact, when we look at larger organisations which are probably better resourced financially than the community centres, we still say that the best people to be on the board of trustees, the board of directors, or the committee, depending on what the terminology is, are the people who have the passion for the cause. We think that is a key thing there. However, volunteers sometimes do need training and they need to be motivated in various ways. And we believe, Kerry, in having a simple strategic plan, which might be half a page long, about where the organisation does. Sometimes organisations, smaller voluntary groups, spend all their time doing things and they need to spend, this sounds trite, but they need to spend as little as an hour or two a year sitting back and say, okay, well, hang on, what are we actually trying to achieve over the next 12 months or the next 3 years? And then if you structure it that way, that people, they can channel their passion into clear plans rather than an ongoing workload. So quite a good thing to have seasons within an association.
Well, that's an interesting comment. I like that about the seasons. And you're right, often with strategic plans, they end up being a big document that sits on the shelf that everyone just goes, phew, that's over.
Yes, we get amazed sometimes about how complicated can an organisation be. I guess I'd pick on the well-known Monash University in our neighbouring state from both, I'm in New South Wales, you're in South Australia, our neighbouring state of Victoria. I've seen some organisations who think that plans have to be as complicated as running Monash University. Very, very complicated. And bringing in terms, you've really got to make it a very, very simple plan. The thing I'll say, perhaps say twice already, is that it is wonderful for a group of people to get together and look at a piece of paper and say, oh, that's what we want to do. And it's a good idea to put down priorities, some dates and some responsibilities and say, well, this is what we would actually like to do over the next year. And data, put the data on the plan and then see how you go over that period of time. It's a bit like people setting their own personal fitness levels or personal goals. It's really good for everyone to do it. And then that builds teamwork and builds clarity on what everyone's doing.
Great points. And John, what would you say for that board of management also looking out to the challenges and opportunities facing not-for-profits? Because although community centre, they'll say, look, we're unique, there's a lot of common challenges and opportunities for not-for-profits facing them all at present.
The role of your organisation, Community Centre South Australia, is vital because you are the peak, and we greatly believe in peak bodies. In your case, you have the opportunity, people have the opportunity to learn what the other centres are doing. And rather than everyone think it would be a good idea if I got on the phone and rang around my neighbouring towns or my neighbouring suburbs and finding out what's happening, the reality is people don't do that. And that's why you need the structure of a peak body to make people realise what their opportunities are. And sometimes there's an idea or a plan or a program or a facility in a neighbouring region, which is exactly the opportunity that the association needs now, or the community centre needs. Now, the challenges, I'd say, are perennial. The challenges, and we can talk more about these, but the challenges certainly include motivation and dealing with people who you have to get the best out of them, and you can't give them a pay rise if they're doing well because they're not being paid. And it's a jolly hard to tell them to go away and please stop volunteering because you're more trouble than you're worth if they're not achieving things. But there's heaps of opportunities and heaps of challenges.
Tom, what would you say to the current operating environment for not-for-profits when we consider cost of living, power prices, and the complexity of regulation and compliance that has come in?
Things are tough and costs are going up at the moment. Households are suffering, businesses are suffering, and community groups are suffering. However, I guess that's a reason for people to be aware of their financial situation. And we, even though the term not-for-profit is very valid, they are not for loss either. So one of the things about addressing the operating environment and the fact that unexpected things are happening and costs are going up is that the organisations need to be a little bit bullish about developing their resources so that they can cope for a rainy day. And Kerry, the example I'd use is that during the COVID pandemic, most associations did survive because other than the motivating effect of everyone saying, well, we've got to stick together during these uncertain times, organisations also had a war chest. They had a financial buffers there. But another thing I would say about the operating environment is shop around. You've got to look at your costs. And again, that's a great thing that a group like Community Centre South Australia can do, to do a little bit of benchmarking. And I think there should be openness by community centres on their finances. They should be really willing to share their balance sheets and their P&Ls with other organisations, because there's no competition. But people are generally a little bit reserved about sharing their finances, and I wouldn't share personal finances, but I think it's a really good if there's openness and transparency on the account, because people should be able to learn from each other.
They should. I'm talking to John Peacock, founder and CEO of Associations Forum. John, what learnings could community centres take from association membership? Where do you think there's some transfer of knowledge and skills that could be of value?
I would say, Kerry, is that you have to decide what is the role of your members. And we are very strongly in favour of the concept of membership as a group of people to whom the committee is accountable. So one of the things we would early on is to say, if you are structured that you are usually under the South Australian Associations Incorporation Act, if you are structured that way, you need to think about, why do we need members? And you don't actually need to say, we're on a perpetual quest to get more members, because you need to distinguish between members and clients. The things that you're doing from the, there should be no need for a member of the community to feel obliged to be a member to access the services or facilities of a community centre. So you need to start off, first of all, saying, what is the role of membership in our organisation? And our tip is, pick a number that you think, let's say there's eight people on a committee, who are those eight people accountable to? And we think it should probably be something like 20 people. So if you're an organisation, but you want to get 20 people who care about the organisation, and you want 20 people to show up to the annual general meetings and give applause where necessary, and ask difficult questions when it's not. So the first thing I'd say is, think hard about the role of membership. It can be very important, but it's important in a governance accountability way.
Yes, of course. And also, communities feel very loyal towards their community centres. They have a real tie-in relationship, and that's where I see a lot of those synergies with memberships of associations as well, because it's respecting the time that somebody puts into your organisation.
Yeah, look, loyalty is a really important thing. In my community association, I was president for 3 years of the Artarmon Progress Association. Artarmon is a suburb of Sydney on the north side of the harbour. And I had been on the committee very briefly before I was corralled and encouraged to become president, which was a great honour. And then I enjoyed my 3 years. And I've still got great ongoing loyalty to that organisation. And my loyalty to the organisation is assisted by the fact that I didn't get burnout. I had a busy job, which was changing, and so I could have stayed for 3 years as chair. If I'm lucky, maybe I would have stayed 9 years as chair, but I probably would have been a little bit burnt out for that period of time. So I've got great loyalty because I got out at the right time. So one of the things to consider for your listeners is knowing to quit when you're ahead.
Very good point. John, you've been a volunteer yourself, as you're just describing. Where do you see volunteering these days from what you're experiencing from the associations and not-for-profits you're involved with?
I think volunteering is changing, Kerry. I think it's not necessarily a quantitative thing these days. I grew up, I guess, a third of the way between Sydney and Adelaide in the country town of Dubbo, and my family and my parents, my sisters, my grandparents, my cousins were all involved in various community groups, and that was great. But I think these days you have to think carefully again. As I mentioned earlier, the role of membership, which I see is very largely a governance role, an important governance role. I think with volunteers, you've got to actually think, why do we want the volunteers? And sometimes you're better off a volunteer's fundraising to make money to employ someone to do the job. So volunteering isn't always the answer, but it's a great modality and it's a great tool to consider. But sometimes volunteering isn't the answer. But it can be such a heartening thing to do for people who have retired or have some time on their hands to give back to their community. So again, when you're doing a strategic plan, as well as thinking about what you're going to be doing, it's a good idea to say, well, why and how many members do we need? And how many volunteers do we need? And a volunteer doesn't necessarily need to be a member. So there are different roles between members, committee members, volunteers, and clients or users of your services.
Absolutely. John, Associations Forum provides a lot of services and programs. Can you just run through some of those you think may be of value for our community centre members?
Sure, Kerry. The number one thing that we provide to our organisations is advice, because sometimes you don't know who to ask when you've got a tricky question, and we get all the tricky questions that come to from our member organisations. That can do with personnel, it can be done with technology, personalities is probably a little bit different to personnel, and so we certainly are able to give advice. And we also, if someone brings us up and they're not a member, we will also help them to some degree, but we have to prioritise our members. But we give advice. We want to be the place that our associations of nearly 500 of them around Australia ring us up to ask us a question. Now, that's great, but the more prominent things we do, we run a large conference, which is tremendous, where people get together and learn what other associations in Australia and sometimes overseas are doing. We have good information on our website and our newsletter. We think newsy things are good, and I would say that people love to know what is happening in other organisations of their ilk. They want to know there's a new president in Glenelg, or there's something happening in Murray Bridge, or there is something happening in Port Pirie, and it's a really good thing for people to get news. So a variety of services in that way we run. The number one of the most important thing is we're always there to give assistance if people have a random query and they don't know where to go.
And John, sitting in the position that yourself and your consultants are, you would be looking across such a broad spectrum of sectors. You'd be able to offer some benchmarking perspective because you would see some commonalities running through that. And also by sharing all of those ideas, people can then adapt for themselves, and also you're providing a contact base as well for people to think, I didn't even know about that organisation.
I had lunch today with a chief executive of a very prominent Australian organisation, and we always talk about, goodness me, I didn't know there was such an organisation. So that comes back to one of my favourite principles, which is the freedom to associate, where you can get together. If it's a legal cause, you have the freedom to get together to pursue your interest. One of my examples of that is when I started my career in association, professional career in association, after my volunteering 35 years ago, there was a tobacco, which was the gathering of people who used to be the Rothmans and the Paul Malls of the world, and good on them. Cigarettes are legal and they were able to, and by the way, that's no such organisation anymore, but at the time it was quite valid to have it. So we get to see a lot of things, and there's a freedom to associate for it, and there's an association for everything. And however, there are some things that you can measure. And the things that we measure in our world, we do a salary survey. Community centres don't have, obviously, largely run by volunteers, but it is certainly a very popular service just to do benchmarking of what people get paid. But that's not so relevant in your case. We also do benchmarking of boards of directors, and a key thing that we do, and one of our most important statistics in our benchmarking, is the size and how many people on the board. If you've got five on the board, three isn't enough, four's okay, but we think the usual size of a really good committee or board is about eight. That's a good number to have, and we think that 18 is too many, because if you've got 18, you always get people who won't work as hard as others, and people get a bit disillusioned by them. And when I say the benchmark of eight, the other thing that is a good thing to benchmark is how long do people stay on the board. We think it's important to stay on the board for 10 years, and even if you're fit and able and want to continue as the chair of the board or the president of your little group, we think it's important for you to leave for a couple of years, let other people come in and give you the right to come back, because we think one of the perils in a community centre or an association, large or small, is people staying too long, being encouraged, oh, you're doing a wonderful job. But it's a really good thing to be able to say there's a hard limit, you've got to go after a period of time, and then you can come back again if you're there. So there are some valuable things that you can benchmark across all sorts of not-for-profits.
That's absolutely fabulous, because it's very hard for community centre workers to have on average 1 to 1.5 paid resource, and all their board directors are volunteers. So this is something that information can be very valuable for them. John, if organisations want to get in touch directly, how do they do that?
Look, we'd love to hear from any organisation we're able to help in practical ways. Obviously, we appreciate you at Community Centre South Australia being a member. So we're very happy for people if they've got a query. My email is john@associations.net.au, or our website is very similar, associations.net.au. And our phone number is Sydney number 02-9904-8200. We do welcome queries, and sometimes we can let people know that they are going in the right direction. Even sometimes you're not sure if you're doing the right thing or not, and sometimes the best thing we can do is have a chat to someone and we agree that there's no changes. We can offer reassurance.
Well, thank you today for your insightful comments and for some of that reassurance to know that there is an organisation that community centres can reach out to. Thank you, John, for being a guest on our Community Conversations podcast.
My pleasure, Carrie. Great to talk to you, and congratulations to all of your team for the work you do at Community Centre South Australia.
Thank you. And thank you for listening and engaging with our Community Conversations today. Every week, we aim to bring you stories from far and wide, across South Australia and beyond. People who are game changers in our community, doing great work, plus general topics of community interest. If you have any subjects you think we should cover or any other feedback, please let us know at communitycentressa.asn.au. And feel free to share this podcast so we can engage more people in our next Community Conversation.
Community Conversations. For more information, check out communitycentressa.asn.au.